whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
When Curry and them and Draymond and all that, when we had David Lee and all that, and Draymond replaced David Lee when David Lee back and everything wasn't right, they're not building the Warriors team how they built. But in back in the past when they won the championships, when they brought Iguodala in, everybody had a position to replace. We never had a player to replace Draymond Green when he goes out to do the things that he do. He's that heart and soul, the backbone of that team. His energy that he brings to the team is what we need. Everybody on that Warriors team is soft, but Draymond Green. And like I said, but at the end of the day, shout out Steve Kerr for taking that one for the jaw.
Do you really think like I everyone on the team but Draymond is soft? I don't know if I buy that. Don't get me wrong. He definitely plays with edge. There's no doubt about it. And he is an absolute enforcer. I'm not denying that. But come on, some of these guys they're tough dudes.
I'm not.
Like when I watch Trayce Jackson-Davis or John DeKuminga attack the lane, I'm not thinking soft.
No.
I would never say Kevon Looney is soft.
GP too. As much as I'm frustrated because he's been injured a lot. Yeah, exactly. Kevon Looney. Yeah, like no, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to that at all. JK's not soft.
No. Well, and even
Moses
like Curry,
not
even
soft. Though,
even Curry. If you watch Curry like every night, I can see how the outside view of watching him 3 or 4 times a year, oh, he's soft. No, he's not soft. He's fighting through contact on every single possession all year long. And then on defense, he's being hunted all year. All year. Yeah, I if anything, the people that really know basketball are like, yeah, that guy's a killer.
That last segment was brought to you by Golden State over the Bay Area. For 3 generations, when you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. That last segment, by the way, was also sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Safe travel in the new year starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change for all vehicle types. Friendly technicians will check fluids, wipers, lights, and much, much more. No need to get out of your vehicle. Locations, coupons, and BayAreaOilChange.com. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Let's get to Corey in North Carolina. Corey, what's up?
Hey, Corey.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to say, like, Draymond, his legacy to me is going to be it's strained because there's a lot of times I'm like, why did you do that? Why would you do that? And then there's a lot of times I'm like, oh, my God, how did you do that? And I'll remember both of them because I started watching this team when I was, like, really young, and I was a single guy, and I have a family, and I grew up with this team. So, in a way, I'm sad because I wanted to see them all go out together. But I really hope Draymond understands what he means to the team and just calms down, man, because it's like, you're too old for that, bro. You're too old. It doesn't look good anymore. 29 years old, it's like, oh, you're feisty. But now it's like, come on, bro. You're wild.
It's a lot of truth to what he was saying. Good call.
Terry in Oakland. Terry, what's up, man? What's up, Terry? I'm just here for the calls today. I'm here for the content. This is, we got what do we have here? We got soft. I can't even keep up.
Well, the league Terry yesterday did call it a tech double tech on Schroeder and, right. And Isaiah Stewart. I thought Isaiah Stewart just overreacted. Schroeder went to go save a ball going into the stands, and yeah, he landed on a fan, and it was unfortunate, and it sucks. But like, that is part of the give and take of sitting courtside. You know, you might get someone to land on you. And I didn't think Dennis Schroeder was like mean or rude or did anything wrong. And like the Pistons took crazy umbrage with the whole thing. Wasn't that weird?
It's the weirdest thing ever.
And then they called it double tech. I'm like, why is that a double tech?
Terry, what's up, man? What's up, Terry? Terry.
He was not a great president.
Oh, no.
Oh, Terry, give us a call back. Anyway, 888-957-9570 is the number. We're going to get to the playoffs in the next segment, man. We'll move off of Draymond for a second. The Warriors do get a win. They'll play Indiana tonight 888-957-9570 is the number as we're talking about Draymond Green. And a lot of people after a win have an issue still with him. After a win, I was focused on Gui Santos and Lindy Waters III. Lindy Waters III trying to come around. What about Stephen Curry? Going 5 of 21 and 2 for 14 from the three-point line, yet the Warriors get a win because you get contributions from Santos and Waters and TJD and even Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield woke up. He made an appearance last night at Little Caesars Arena.
I thought that Lindy Waters had a good game. Like, he's one of those guys that when he's catching in rhythm from the top of the key on the sides,
right,
elbow extended, if you will, like, that's his shot. The little kickback shot, boom, he's squared up, he's ready to go. I like him off the bench,
yep,
but they're asking a lot from him and Buddy Hield right now. Like, they need both those guys' contract. With Kuminga out, they need
you got five guys out. You got five guys out. Let's go.
I know.
Let's go back to Terry. Let's go back to Terry.
You like five guys' as fries?
Yeah, not really. No, actually, they're really good.
I actually don't mind. Really, I don't like the Cajun ones. I like the regular ones.
I just don't like the price that I'm spending $30. It feels like there every time.
Really? Is the price for you? I think it's a good burger too.
Good. Terry, what's up?
What's up, Terry?
Can you hear me?
Oh, I got you. I got you, Carrie. What's up, Carrie?
How you doing?
Okay, well, first of all, Vontae, I wanted to tell you, you looked so handsome on the post-game show. In that suit, it just looked amazing. I'm sorry, I had to make that comment.
Well, thank you very much. Thank God my fiance is asleep, so she won't kill me later on today.
He is a handsome man.
But thank you, Carrie. I appreciate it.
He is a handsome man. Yeah, you all looked great. As far as Draymond, oh, my God, what's wrong with people? We couldn't have won what we won without Draymond. Does he have a mouth on him? Yes. Does he have anger management problems? Yes. Does he provide us entertainment? Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. Draymond's been a huge minister. That's all it was.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you. Or Carrie, excuse me. Carrie. Call back anytime, especially if you have a compliment for me.
There is definitely a Charles Haley, Romanowski. Like, he resembles more. He's got, like, that football kind of spotted history, if you will. You know, where he's obviously a great player with a great legacy and an unbelievable resume. And he's got some stuff.
I believe Mahomes is a crybaby.
By the way, hopefully everybody's safe. I heard we had a little rumble out there.
Did we?
A little earthquake. People are reporting a little earthquake in the Bay.
I mean, there's
a lot going on here in 2025. Fires
and the fire thing is just so sad.
Let's go. By the way, Sam Amick reporting that the Warriors are out on Jimmy Butler. They're not interested in Jimmy Butler and give him an extension, and they do not want to trade Jonathan Kuminga. That's the latest on Jimmy Butler. That was from yesterday.
Yesterday.
He was on the podcast with Chandler Parsons, Lou Williams, and Michelle Beadle. Sam Amick said that. Let's go to Linda. What's up, Linda?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Hey, I'm good.
I really want to talk about how the game. I was driving home last night listening to the game, and it was just so exciting to sit in the car and hear how well Waters and Santos were doing. And you sit there and you think, these are the guys that were at the end of the bench, and now they're out there playing. Mm. They're playing in the first quarter. Mm. They're playing most of the second quarter. And we were winning down by 12, and then all of a sudden turn around, we're up by 10 at halftime. What the heck? You know, this is where we get to that Steve Kerr thing of play the younger guys. Santos really came out of his shell last night. It was like, what the heck was that?
I know.
Yeah.
He did. He took him out a lot in the third quarter. He didn't play most of the third quarter, but he did bring him back in those defensive situations a little bit in the fourth quarter. I think he could have hit 20 points last night if he would have had a little bit more playing time. Yeah. And Lindy Waters, 3 three-pointers in a row, boom, boom, boom. Where did that come from?
Right.
You know, I really want to see him start to spread. I mean, what was it, 10 guys last night, Bonte?
Yeah, 10 guys.
On the roster to fight?
Yep.
That was it. That was it. Those guys are going to be tired today playing a back-to-back. And I think you said last night, Curry might not play tonight, or Draymond might not play tonight in the back-to-back. You're going to go with 8?
They're probably going with 8. Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully you're probably going to be playing 8 deep. This is going to be a rough game. This might be a rough game tonight.
Can I ask you about the Pajemski thing? I felt like he was ready to come back. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, they said he was going to come back on this road trip.
Oh, okay. And Gary Payton II. I thought it was before.
And Gary Payton II was, wow, Daly City earthquake was 3.7 to Daly City. Sorry to cut you off there.
Oh.
So not as big. So hopefully everybody is safe in Daly City. That's close to my house. It's brutal. Hopefully everybody is safe over there. But no, yeah, Pods and GP2 will be back on this road trip at some point.
What GP2, exactly is the Pods injury?
Abdominal. Abdominal. Okay. Yeah, abdominal. So,
because he was bouncing around on the sidelines, and I'm
he's getting close. He's getting close.
Was it a hand?
Okay. He's getting close. Abdominal. He's getting close. Right. So, 888-957-9570. I want to ask this question. We're going to move on to football, but maybe we could take some calls on this, and I'll get your opinion on this. I'm seeing a lot of texts saying that, man, we're not winning now, and it feels like a lot of the blame is going towards Draymond Green on the reason why we're not winning, or the Warriors are not winning, I should say. Why aren't they winning? Is it just, it has to do with Draymond Green? Because again, as we started the show, we've always got to have a scapegoat. We've always got to blame somebody. I don't think it's just one guy who is causing the Warriors to lose games.
No, I think it's a thought exercise, Bonte. It's because like when we do these trade thought exercises, it's like, well, Steph and Dre have to stay. And it's like, my thing is like, all right, well, then you're limiting the amount of options that are out there financially to be able to stack trades and make a move. You have to be open-minded to
there's no doubt
moving Draymond. And I mean, I think that's the bigger question. Like, if the question is this, how can they get better? Then you need to be open-minded to moving off of Draymond. You can't be closed-minded on it. I think that's the way it's. If I could still swing a deal and get a difference maker and retain Draymond, great. Great.
Yeah, listen, this probably should have happened a couple of years ago. You had the chance to let him walk in free agency. Joe Lacob decided, hey, we're going to sign this guy to $100 million with a player option.
Mm-hmm.
That's on Joe Lacob. That's on the Golden State Warriors. Now, trading him, where do you trade him? I don't know if you're going to do that right now. I don't know if you want to do that. I'm not helping on anything. Look, I think Steve Kerr mentioned it in training camp. The only guy who's guaranteed starting is Steph Curry. And I right then and there told me that anything could happen outside of this roster involving Steph Curry. Like, outside of Steph Curry, everything's on the table. Everything could be on the table. I think Draymond may have mentioned that before. I don't know. But what is the main reason why the Warriors are not winning games at a consistent rate? Is it just because they're not good
enough?
I'll
answer it on the other side.
Are they good enough? I don't know if they're good enough. Anyway, that's coming up. Brought to you by Chilton Autobody.
Possibly. Montana looking, throwing in the end zone. Dwight Clark! It's a madhouse at Candlestick with 51 seconds left. Dwight Clark is 6'4". He stands about 10 feet tall in this crowd's estimation.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Ben Scully, Hank Strand, CBS Sports, the anniversary of the catch game, and it sparked a dynasty, and it changed our expectations forever when it comes to 49er football. Montana and Dwight Clark and the Niners would advance to the Super Bowl where they would beat the Bengals in Pontiac, Michigan at the Superdome, 26-21. And as we get to playoff football, all these memories start to come up. Earlier today, I saw on Instagram, Andrew Luck and the Colts coming back against the Kansas City Chiefs, down 38-10 at the Lucas Oil Field. It's like, wow, Luck to T.Y. Hilton. And T.Y.'s doing a T.Y. dance, and Andrew Luck is doing his thing. But man, that age is like fine wine. 1981 NFC Championship game, Candlestick Park, man. What a day. I wasn't bored.
My favorite part about all those highlights is the crowd.
Crowd.
The guy in the all-white suit.
Oh, the pimp suit.
Oh, God.
I wonder who that guy is. I always wanted to know who that guy is.
Well, they did. The Chronicle had done some sort of like a deep dive trying to find all the people in there. And I forget if they found that particular individual. And then there's always like out of every 4 or 5, maybe 10 years, you get like a Sports Illustrated article when Sports Illustrated was the thing.
Right.
Where did the ball go?
Right.
And like 6 different people claim they have it on their mantle, you know, because Dwight flipped it to a ball boy or whatever. And yeah, that whole sequence is incredible. I mean, one of my favorite books, The Catch that changed the dynasties for 2 different teams, and going through what it meant to the Dallas Cowboys was the fascinating thing for me, seeing what it did to Drew Pearson and Danny White and Tom Landry and Randy White. And, oh, gosh, it's just incredible.
Changed the course of NFL history, where the Niners won 5 Super Bowl championships from the 81 season to the 94 season. And we think about the playoffs this season, which begin tomorrow. First game that's kicking off the slate is Jim Harbaugh's L.A. Chargers against the Houston Texans. And in these playoffs, history is going to be made. It's either we're going to see the Kansas City Chiefs win 3 Super Bowls in a row, which they would become the first franchise ever win 3 Super Bowls in a row in the Super Bowl era, or somebody's going to knock them off and make history, and Mahomes is going to lose on the way. But something's going to pop off in these postseason. By the way, shameless shout-outs coming up at 7:45. Shameless shout-out, 7:45. Line them up, 888-957-9570. If you want to shout-out Draymond Green, if you want to shout-out the Warriors for a win, if you want to shout-out Shanahan and Lynch for the presser, you want to shout-out Brock Purdy, you want to shout-out your local high school team, you want to shout-out your local grocery store, 888-957-9570. I already see some shout-outs on the text line that we'll get to at 7:45, but when you think about the history that catch brought to the 49ers fandom and to this city, and the times where the city was down and out, it was down and out, and they picked it up, and they lifted it up, and they ended up lifting up 5 Lombardi trophies, 3 under Walsh, 2 under Seifert. What's going to be that team? Who's going to be that team that rises to fame in about the January and early February? I'm really excited about this postseason because, in a way, I'm a little refreshed where, you know, with the Niners going through the playoff run, there's a lot of stress. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of doing deep dives on everything, and you're freaking out about the team. And you're like, oh, man, one bad play could change the fortunes of your season. But now Shanahan and company get to sit back and watch, kind of steal some plays, pick some things apart, see what they did wrong, see what they could do good, see what they could add to their roster. But when you think about these playoffs, who's got the most to gain? What team, what player, Shasky? Who's got the most to gain with these playoffs? Let's start there.
Most to gain?
Yep.
Well, the obvious one would be the guys that don't have championships currently, right? The Lamars, the Josh Allens, you know. I was just saying, like, the way you say most to gain, like, I'll give you a list. Why don't you give me some NFL music, and I'm going to rat-a-tat-tat these, and I want you to give your perspective on some of these ones. Because I was saying pressure, but most to gain is actually, it's fitting.
Well, you want to do pressure? We could do pressure. We could do most to gain.
Because I have people playing with house money, and then I have people playing with the most pressure. Mm-hmm. So here's the most pressure. Here are some of the guys that I think are playing with the most pressure. We'll start right here. Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson can go in one of two directions. He wins a playoff game. It's the first Steeler win since 2016 in the playoffs. Does he get a contract extension with the Steelers?
So you think he has the most pressure?
I do, because you know why? He could put himself in the Derek Carr zone with another loss, meaning no real true contender is looking at him like a long-term solution.
I put Russ in the house money category.
Okay.
He got traded to Pittsburgh. They're in the playoffs again. He's had his struggles, but he's got a Super Bowl. He's got one chilling at the crib. Now, was he the leader on that team, quote-unquote leader? I don't really care if he was a leader or not. He's got a Super Bowl ring. So I think he can gain a lot. He's one of my guys where I'm like, boy, he can gain a lot.
I mean, I think he played himself out of the Hall of Fame the last couple of years.
Well, that's why I think he could gain by winning a game or two in the playoffs. Right. And maybe he catapults himself back into the Hall of Fame conversation.
What about Mike Tomlin? Mike Tomlin has a ton of pressure. You know, this is a guy who never had an under 500 season, hasn't won a playoff game since 2016. Does he have a lot of pressure?
He does have a lot of pressure on him. He does have a lot of pressure. Are you just going by teams, or this is your list of top 2 guys?
No, this is my list.
Wow.
And it's coaches and players. Wow. And then I have the house money list. But I'm looking at this combination. Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. I think they both have a lot of pressure. Jalen Hurts just to get on the field, number one. And then Nick Sirianni. If anything goes wrong with Philadelphia, he's going to be the guy that's going to get blamed. And they've had a monster season. I think that they... if they're not your favorite coming out of the NFC, I think they're your number two for most people. I think they should be the favorite. I think he's got a lot of pressure on him.
Okay.
You don't think Sirianni has any pressure?
Oh, no, I think he has some pressure, but I'm a little surprised that those are the first three to four names you came up with when it comes to more pressure.
I've got more.
This is like the top four most pressure guys, right?
There's no order on this.
Oh, confused. Okay,
there's no order on this.
All right, see, I have an order.
Okay.
I have an order of most pressure and most engaged.
I've got McDermott with a ton of pressure. Now, we know Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have their own individual pressures to win championships. To me, though, they're combo ranked number one. But I think Dougie McDermott? It's not Dougie, but I think McDermott has a ton of pressure here, because if you're Belichick, you're just salivating to get that Buffalo job. If you're one of these other guys, like a Ben Johnson, maybe that becomes open in the next couple of weeks. Buffalo cannot lose early in these playoffs. I think McDermott has a ton of pressure on him.
See, I rank my pressures. I rank mine. Guys who has the most pressure and guys who have the most to gain in the playoff run. The most pressure in these playoffs, in my opinion, is our number one Lamar Jackson. And I love Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Baltimore's had an iconic offensive season. All right. Lamar Jackson's probably in line to win his third MVP. The guy has accounted for over 40 touchdowns, only thrown four interceptions. The guy's never thrown better in the pocket, and he has King Henry, where Saquon was so great. We didn't even talk about Derrick Henry running for 1,900 yards. Think about that. Derrick Henry went for 1,900 yards, and it's just Tennessee let him walk out the building.
1,200 in just the second half.
Right, there you go.
That's incredible.
So without Zay Flowers against the Pittsburgh Steelers tomorrow, they're playing their bitter rival in Baltimore without the top wide receiver, Zay Flowers. Lamar Jackson in these playoffs, to me, has the most pressure out of any player in this league. He's got to at least get to the AFC title game, and that may not be good enough coming off of last season's AFC title game against the Kansas City Chiefs, where he turned the ball over, threw that egregious interception in the fourth quarter. To me, it's by far, in a way, Lamar Jackson number one is player with the most pressure on his roster.
Real quick, you guys are talking about Mike Tomlin in this game, and it's Steelers-Ravens, obviously. It's an iconic matchup. You just think of Joe Flacco. You think of Ben Roethlisberger. You think of all the hard hits in this series. John Harbaugh hasn't been to a Super Bowl in 13 years. If they get one and done with potentially the back-to-back MVP, do you start thinking about John? Maybe it's like, would you be surprised if they move off of him?
I'm not there, but I
hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Now, number two is the obvious one, Josh Allen.
Well, yeah, see, two quarterbacks are pretty obvious. But
I'm saying my third will surprise a lot of people.
Who's that?
It's going to be Sam Darnold.
Well, yeah, got to plan for money.
Sam Darnold going to Glendale, Arizona, as the game between the Rams and Rams and the Vikings had been moved from SoFi Stadium due to the fires. And again, our condolences go out to everybody suffering and evacuating down in L.A., man. It is heartbreaking to see what's going on down there. That game's been moved to Glendale, Arizona. And Sam Darnold, who a lot of Niner fans, I remember Gene at the Doobie Awards had a passionate speech about going to get Sam Darnold. And then Sam Darnold turned in that performance on Sunday Night Football in front of a nationally televised audience against the Detroit Lions. This is the first playoff game as a starting quarterback in the league.
Well, I thought his first playoff game was last week, even though it wasn't technically a playoff game. And I thought that he failed the test.
Well,
and that's to be expected.
Now, how is he going to do in this test against the LA Rams? A team they already lost to this season, by the way, on Thursday Night Football. I think Darnold, when it comes to all the players, I'm just looking at the players right now, because coaches, Tomlin definitely is up there when it comes to pressure. Sam Darnold, a lot. He could win a lot of money. He could earn a lot of money. He could earn a lot of kudos if he can get a win or two in these playoffs, because Minnesota won 14 games.
So I got two more quarterbacks that I'm going to throw in there and one more head coach. All right. Are you done? Do you have any more?
No, we're oscillating.
I like Justin Herbert also with a lot of pressure. And the reason why I like Justin Herbert with a lot of pressure, a lot of people are still like, can you win a playoff game? You know? And I think that, the guy on the other side of the field, C.J. Stroud, he had a sophomore slump this year. I think a lot of people are waiting to see what he does in these playoffs to either be like, see, we crowned him too early, or to say, hey, the guy bounced back after a subpar expected season, even though there were some injuries from those wide receivers.
Well, his offensive line is awful.
They've been penalized
the most in this league, and this is why I caution the Niner fans by, when it comes to Brock Purdy, he's like, look, man, you need C.J. Stroud's a perfect example of why you need good offensive line play and you need help on the outside.
Of course.
Larry Tunsil's getting called for holdings and false starts over and over and over again. But I look at C.J. Stroud, and I look at Justin Herbert as guys playing with house money. The Chargers were not expected to be in this spot. We thought coming into the season that the Chargers, who the hell is he going to throw to? Quentin Johnson? Ladd McConkey, a rookie? J.K. Dobbins coming off of injuries? Really? The Chargers, I think, exceeded expectations, and I think he's a guy who's playing with house money, and he has a lot to gain in these playoffs. And C.J. Stroud, sophomore season, been up and down. I don't think he has as much pressure as, say, some of these other guys in the league.
No doubt. Like, Lamar and Josh are on a whole other platform than those. That's why, to me, those two are just way, they're off to the side. That's the obvious. I do think there's pressure for Justin Herbert. 23 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Can you do it with limited weapons? Like, I think that he could earn a ton of respect league-wide.
He's in my House has money. The most to gain category here, Justin Herbert.
Here's the other guy that I'm looking at, and I think this one is a little outside the box. And Spinoni, thank you for helping me curate this one. Dan Campbell's going to lose both his assistants, it feels like, heading into the offseason. You know, I think they've got a lot of pressure on them, just in the sense of when you don't win the Super Bowl, when you've been one of the best teams in the league, after a couple of consecutive seasons, that boulder on the shoulder gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And now you got to go through the coordinator hiring cycle. And we know it can be difficult. As the Niners know, it's really difficult to replace high-level assistants. I think there is some pressure on Dan Campbell heading into these playoffs. Even though that defense is awful, man, it feels like there's some pressure on Campbell.
Well, Detroit, when I think about Dan Campbell and the Lions, when you lose a game that they lost last year in January to the Niners, leading 24-7, remember Dan Campbell's quotes after the game where he addressed his team and said, you know, we may never get back to this point. So they're dealing with that, playing on that stage, saying to ourselves, what are we going to do when we have a lead? What are we going to do when we're in this situation again? And they're the number one seed in the NFC. So all your home, in all home games, you're going to be in the dome. Whoever you welcome in that second round, it's going to be a tough matchup, whether it's Tampa Bay, whether it's the Rams, whether it's the Vikings. I do subscribe to some Dan Campbell and Jared Goff, for that matter, who got the big money extension, as having a lot of pressure on those lines, because this could be the last time they have Ben Johnson. Obviously, he's going to get a job somewhere. And Eric Lane, who's their longtime defense coordinator, because they all helped build this thing up. What does it look like? Do they have anybody in place in store? I believe Dan Campbell's a good coach, but I still think the Lions have pieces to be really, really good for the foreseeable future. But when if you lose in these playoffs, if you don't win a Super Bowl, then it starts to mount up the pressure of not winning that big one.
Exactly.
So I subscribe to that.
Yeah, all right. So I've got some house money teams. I know you referenced a couple. Feels like the Broncos, Sean Payton, Bo Nix. Boy, they're playing with house money, right?
And that defense. We're getting 8.5 against Buffalo. I'm very, very interested to see how that game goes. Like, it will shock a lot of people if Denver won that football game.
Their defense is really good.
But their defense is really good. And Bo Nix is balling. And they can run the football.
They lose that game. McDermott, just pack it up, right? I mean, that's what I'm saying. McDermott's got tons of pressure.
Yeah, I think they have the most pressure, Josh Allen and McDermott, outside of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, wow. All right, the Commanders. They're a year early.
House money.
House money, right?
House money.
You know, Jaden Daniels could throw 17 interceptions in this game, and yeah, I'll still think he's a good quarterback.
It's house money.
Right? What if I said the Rams, because of everything that's going on in L.A., you know, like, and they've got a Super Bowl already, and I know that they had a pretty good year this year, but, like, given the real off-the-field stuff, the horrible tragedy that's happening right now in Southern California, they got to be, like, because football feels so secondary to people losing an entire community and their homes and their belongings and their memories.
Yes, it has nothing to do with that, but I hear you on that one, because I put the Chargers in it for that same argument.
Chargers too, yes.
Justin Herbert and them, they're playing with house money. I always think
of them as
the Rams before the season. Guru's been taking the victory lap about this. What's when he that? Came at you when you were like, name a Rams defender, and Guru got stumped because he picked the NFC West division as the LA Rams being the champions of the division. By the way, Shayla, shout out to the 11 minutes, 888-957-9570.
Hey.
I Yeah, they're playing with house money. Big time house money. Not even close. Nobody expected the Rams to win a division. Nobody could name a defender on their team. Although we could because we watch college football. So Fisk and Verse on the defensive line. Rams, yeah, they're playing with house money. You know what? They're a live dog. They're a live dog.
All right. This is a rare one. The quarterback has all the pressure. And why do I feel like the head coach is playing with house money? Kevin O'Connell, the Vikings. I feel like no matter what happens in the playoffs, it's not on Kevin O'Connell. And my trip, and I'm not even mad at it. I'm just saying, like, I feel like he's earned all the equity. And if anything happens, it's, well, you know, Darnold, you know, I mean, just, yeah, look what he did. Yeah, like, no. He's in, like, the Shanahan zone almost.
No, he's fine. He's in a good spot.
The most obvious one of all time. I mean, Mahomes and Reed. They got more house money than anyone.
Yeah, there's no
Scrooge
pressure.
Scrooge McDuck.
There's no pressure on them. Although... Yeah, no, there's no pressure. There's no pressure.
Maybe Steve Spagnuolo, who's doing, you know, head coaching interviews right now, if he pitches some shutouts in the playoffs, maybe that pushes him over the top.
Yeah, if he gets lit up.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
They're getting healthy on defense, though.
They're healthy everywhere.
They're not getting lit up.
They're getting healthy everywhere.
If they win their fourth, okay, they win three in a row, they win their fourth, how many more for you to, like, say, maybe Andy is... not better than Belichick, but on par with Belichick. Did he have to equal the amount of Super Bowls?
For me, he's already on par with Belichick. To me, the amount of championships, that's secondary to me right now because I look at the impact you had on the game of football.
Interesting.
The impact you had in the game of football and the way you evolved. Belichick, over the years with New England, was able to evolve, whether they became a defensive-first team, to becoming a Brady-led team, to becoming a defensive-led team again, to becoming a run-first team, to becoming a wide-open passing attack. Belichick evolved the same way Andy Reid has. Andy Reid, traditional West Coast offense, two-back system, quarterbacks taking snaps under center. They've evolved, and he's studied the spread game left and right. Now you look at all the motions Kansas City does, all the trickery, all the gimmick stuff. To me, Andy Reid is an offensive mind in this game, and the way he's impacted quarterback play, he's already on par to me with Belichick.
Wow. I can't get mad at what that entire argument. I mean, if they go on to win it this year, that'd be six Super Bowl appearances for him and four wins.
Yep.
And then...
and countless championship game appearances.
Absolutely.
And think about how many losing seasons he's had over the course of his career. Three.
Yeah, it's crazy. And now, what about Mahomes? If Mahomes can win a fourth, now he will have a Super Bowl loss on his resume, but it feels like that doesn't stick to him at all.
Oh, well, he's on a Mount Rushmore quarterbacks. He wins another one.
Well, does he jump over Montana for
you? Yeah, he does.
God, that sucks to say.
Whoa.
No, I agree
no,
with you.
No. I'm gonna take that back.
He would have four before the age of 29.
Nope. I'm gonna take that back because I look at his Super Bowl wins compared to Montana. Montana lit the Dolphins up. Back the truck up, baby. Montana lit up the Dolphins at Stanford Stadium. Okay. He lit up John Elway and the Denver Broncos. He led the game-winning drive through and had a marvelous game down at Joe Robbie Stadium in Super Bowl 23 against the Cincinnati Bengals. When I look at Mahomes' wins in the Super Bowl, I look at the Niners' miscues, Jimmy Garoppolo, Chris Jones dominating. Now, the Eagles game was very impressive, Mahomes.
He was on a broken ankle.
He was unbelievable in that game. Unbelievable. I give him that one. And I look at the way the Niners snuffed him out last year. Kansas City's defense stood out to me in that Super Bowl game.
Well, couldn't you make that argument for Joe's first Super Bowl?
I said that. That's why I just started with the Dolphins. In three of his wins, Montana was definitely all Montana. I look at two of Mahomes' Super Bowls, and I say his defense, his running game, and everything else.
Okay.
That's how I view it. That's my opinion.
I mean, this guy is literally putting on.
I'm not diminishing him. He's
greatest
great.
Resume. He's one of the ultimate winners in sports.
Can I add one to the most pressure / most to gain? And it's not a player. It's going to be someone in the broadcast booth.
Tom Brady.
Some people think he's gone already, though. A lot of people are thinking during this coaching cycle with the Raiders now, he's going to be part of these interviews. They're talking to Ben Johnson today. A lot of people seem to think he's gone. Do you guys think he's one and done?
Yeah, I do. And I think he should be one and done. Because I was starting to warm up to Brady in his last couple broadcasts. I'm like, yeah, I don't think he's good. I don't think he's good in the booth. I don't think he's an A chair. I don't think he's a number one team type of guy. Greg Olsen's the best color analyst. And then you get
Troy Aikman. Player.
Troy Aikman, Greg Olsen, Charles Davis, Tony Romo. Like, those guys are so much better than Brady. Brady struggles to just answer a basic question from Kevin Burkhardt. I'm out on Brady in the booth. I'm out on him.
What's funny to me is, like, Brady in the locker room is clearly beloved because he's, like, himself. Brady, the second the camera goes on, turns into corporate Brady. And it's, like, it's not good.
Yeah,
I probably like Brady on TV more than most. But, yeah, it has not been great. And it does feel like, how can you do the broadcaster job if you're going to be so involved with the Raiders? Just run the Raiders, dude. Like, if I was the Raiders, I would pay him whatever he's making for Fox and then some and say, be our John Elway, Buster Posey, president, I'm doing air quotes, president of football ops or whatever. How, for Raider fans, how does that sit? Like, the guy with the tuck rule and all that, like, that's got to be weird.
It'd be a poetic ending, though. It's the guy that forced you to be miserable for two decades, come back, and then he turns you into a winner. There's like a Disney Channel movie in there somewhere. But anyone but Mark Davis at this point, if you're a Raider. Like, seriously, though. Like, he's failed on these coaches. Dennis Allen, Jack Del Rio, John Gruden, Josh McDaniels, Antonio Pierce. Like, he's failed miserably at this. Tom Brady can't be any worse at evaluating talent. And listen, maybe he's Michael Jordan with the Hornets, right? Maybe he's like that. Maybe he's player X who is very good at his sport, but not a good GM. Or maybe he's Jerry West.
Or Larry Bird.
Exactly.
Somewhere in between.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So, like, we'll see.
Here's what I always think. Like, if you love the sport and you love competing, it's so hard to fill that void.
Yep.
The closest that you can do is coaching or being a GM. So when I view Brady, I view a guy that misses the competition. And I think he'd be great in one of those roles.
Yeah, I'm out on Brady in the booth. And I think if Raider fans are open to it. Now, who's going to join Tom Brady and Mark Davis? He's got to nail this one. Because Mark Davis has been an awful owner. Awful. You go one and done with all these coaches and you're hiring rejects. It's just, Raider fans deserve better. And I want the Raiders to be good. Because the NFL is better when the Raider Nation is good. When the Raider fans are taking over stadiums. And they're playing deep in the AFC playoffs. And that's silver and black with the Darth Vader mask and everything. The Raiders, it's time they flip the page. It's time they become relevant again and not become the butt of all jokes. I'm dead serious. That fan base deserves a winner, and hopefully Tom Brady can help them deliver that. And who the hell they hire as a coach, I don't know, but they need a winner. They deserve it. They deserve it out there in Las Vegas.
I had seen a stat. I thought I'd screenshot it. I'm trying to find it. The Raiders' record since moving to Vegas, it's like 4-70 or something.
Hey, just look at their record over the last 25 years.
Maybe they're
not 4-70 since moving to Vegas. I know that because they did go to the playoffs at one point.
That's not right.
Two playoff appearances since 2004?
Yes. Against the Texans, where they had Connor Cook playing his only game as an NFL quarterback, and they lost to Brock Osweiler because that was the Derek Carr season on Christmas Eve where he broke his leg, which was brutal.
Yep.
And then, just a couple seasons ago when they beat the Chargers on the last game of the regular season to make the playoffs, and it was a really good game. They had a chance to win it against the Cincinnati Bengals, so ended up going to the Super Bowl that year.
And Derek Carr threw a shorter to goal line.
Yep.
Who's your Super Bowl prediction, guys? Super Bowl game and winner. What do you got?
I'll go first. I had it on the pregame show already, and I'll stick with it.
Oh, thanks, Dibs.
Eagles-Chiefs. Eagles win it all.
Eagles-Chiefs.
That was my preseason prediction.
That would be the worst possible combination of teams in the Super Bowl for me.
It would be the worst
combination. For my fandom.
Not feeling good about this A.J. Brown injury, though. They're 1-2 without A.J. Brown this season.
Yeah. Is he out?
He didn't practice yesterday, and he's dealing with a knee injury. So.
Yeah, because I like the Eagles, too. If he plays, I don't know. The AFC is tricky for me. I don't know if it's going to be Baltimore, Buffalo, or Kansas City. I guess I lean Kansas City because they're going to be playing at home. They're so tough to beat at home, Arrowhead Stadium. But I do have the Philadelphia Eagles winning the entire thing. I think the Philadelphia Eagles have the best roster. I hate saying this. I hate saying it. Crossing Broad, if you're listening, I have you guys celebrating down Broad Street. Saquon Barkley had a CMC-like impact on that football team, and it's undeniable. Undeniable. Jalen Hurts, I think, is a good quarterback. And game is easier for him with Saquon Barkley. You hand it off. And teams are like, damn, we got to go 8 in the box and leave Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, and A.J. Brown at 1-on-1 coverage in their defense. Jalen Carter is going to become a household name this postseason. Cooper DeJean is a problem. Quintel Mitchell at corner.
Quinyon Mitchell.
Good player. I got the Eagles winning the whole damn thing.
I got the Eagles losing this weekend because I don't think Jalen Hurts is going to play. I'm telling you, if Kenny Pickett plays, I don't like them.
Jalen is practicing. He's going to play.
No helmet, though, right?
He's passed the concussion protocol.
Yeah, he cleared it.
I thought he wasn't wearing a helmet.
He cleared it yesterday, right?
He cleared it yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, okay, because I saw a bunch of Jason Dumas stuff, you know, following my man Jason, and he didn't have a helmet on. They were like, no helmet yet. Anyway, I got Bills, Lions. I know. Lions have no defense. Trust me, I understand it. I'm rooting for those two cities, those two communities, those two families.
Oh, I would love to see Detroit.
That's what I want. I want Lions, Bills, and I'm going to pull for the Buffalo Bills to win their first ever Super Bowl.
I would love for either of those teams to win a Super Bowl, Buffalo or Detroit. That would be great.
I will anybody take go a Philadelphia. Ravens one, too.
I would love for Lamar to get one.
Yeah,
no
I would.
Doubt.
I would, too. That would be fun.
Real quick on Jalen Hurts, who was a full participant in practice yesterday, and a player must be cleared by an independent neurological consultant before returning to full participation. So he's on track to play someday.
There you go. I got the Eagles rolling the Green Bay Packers. I think the Eagles are going to win the whole damn thing. I hope not. I hope it's Lamar. I hope it's Josh Allen. I hope it's Jared Goff from Marin County. But my heart says, no, my mind says Philadelphia. Carter, what you got?
It's going to be the Chiefs. It's going to be the Chiefs. I would bet the Chiefs first the field, in fact.
I know.
Last year, everyone bought into they were having a down season.
Not me.
They just rolled through the playoffs, had no issue at all. And this year they're at home. They're 15-2. I know you guys have seen the stat, too, that they're the only team that I don't think scored 30 this year that had a winning record.
Wow.
Which is insane. I mean, and there's a reason for that. This team knows how to win. This is their time.
408 asking, has a three-peat happened? Not in the Super Bowl era.
About to watch it.
No team has ever three-peated. By the way, I saw this little nugget. Who put this in there? Carter and Spinotti? Trent Dilfer for the Ravens won a Super Bowl at the age of 28. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl for the Ravens at the age of 28.
No way.
Lamar Jackson, guess how old he is? 28 years old.
32. That can't be real. That cannot be real.
Dilfer was
28.
It's real.
Flacco was 28. Lamar said, I love those kinds of weird coincidences.
I am pulling for Lamar.
I too.
I want him to stick it to Bill Polian, who said he should have switched his position going into the draft to being a wide receiver.
Bill was wrong. The Chiefs get so lucky that the freaking Bills and Ravens are going to probably end up playing each other.
Stick around.
That's
going to be a hell of a game.
God.
Wait, real quick. The Chiefs get so lucky. They're 15-2. They earned it. Come on. Like, there's no luck involved at this point.
They should have lost to the Raiders.
They should have lost to the Broncos. They should have lost, but they don't because they're a good team.
This is the NFL. There's going to be tough games. Also, it's going to be close games.
The Bills completely outperformed what they were supposed to do this year.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why
too. Yeah.
It's hard for me to say like he has that much pressure on him. They lost Jordan Poyer. They lost both their receivers from last year. They lost their center. I mean, they lost so much in the offseason.
Yeah, but you know, you start getting up there in age, and you know, you eventually got to win one. That's how it works.
Let's get to shameless shoutouts. We're a little late.
It's Friday.
Yeah, I'm a shameless, horrible human being.
Your chance to shamelessly shout out whoever or whatever you want.
I need to shout out somebody. I forget their names. Mm-hmm. They would know who I am if they're listening.
It's time for shameless shout outs on the Morning Roast.
Trades are hard.
Oh, who cares?
You know you make me wanna.
All right, 408. Yo, Bonte, can I get a shout out today? Joey from Belmont. Shout out to Moms, Pops, Little Brother, and SCA Sweepers. Thanks, y'all. Number one roaster right here. Shout you out. What you got, Shasky?
Shout out St. Ignatius Girls Basketball. I'm going to go check them out tonight, 6 o'clock at SI. And I think they play Allie Christian, and then tomorrow they play Mitty. And, so shout out SI. Going to go out there today.
You know, shout out to Aaron and McKenna down at Mitty High School. Oh. Aaron is the father of McKenna. McKenna, unfortunately, one of the top prospects in all of basketball. She's got to wait 3 to 4 weeks to have surgery on her torn ACL. Needs better range of motion and less swelling. So it's unfortunate. Her season is basically lost. And I feel so bad for her. She's one of the best players in the country. One of the best girls basketball players in the country, tore ACL. So, shout out to McKenna. Shout out to her pops, Aaron, who always updates me on McKenna. So, get well, get some rest and recovery, and I know you'll be back better than ever. Yeah.
And let me shout out Tatiana and Maya Quick and her family. I met them at the Warrior game the other day. Her father's hooping. He's a coach for hoops at St. Leo School in Oakland. Super great family. She was on crutches. I hope you're feeling better. And remember what I told you. Be proud and happy that your dad's coaching you, even if he embarrasses you.
Big shout out to my niece, Kaylee Brown, and the Vandy Girls Varsity Basketball Team for the dub last night, beating 163-18. Keep it up, ladies. That's UPS Zach. UPS Zach. What up, UPS Zach? What you guys got back there?
I'm going to shout out the poor men and women that have to watch London American football next year, because they are going to have to watch the New York Jets, Cleveland Browns, and Jacksonville Jaguars.
Ooh.
Hopefully Ben Johnson takes one of those jobs. Maybe it'll be a more interesting game.
Cleveland.
Jets, Browns, Jags.
Browns could be they had them.
I know. Browns. Well, apparently Deshaun Watson, like his surgery, his recovery.
Had a setback.
So.
Maybe they'll get a quarterback. Who knows? Carter, what you got?
Man, I'm going to shout out all the men and women down in Southern California that are fighting for these fires, man, on our behalf. That's quite a task, and it looks like an ugly scene. And thank you to all the firefighters and first responders.
Check in on everybody down in LA. I've been trying to do that over the last couple days, making sure everybody is good, friends and family or whatnot. Just unfortunate, man. People losing Steve Kerr's mom. Steve Kerr's home that he grew up in, the Pacific Palisades, is burned down to the ground. And just fortunately, his 90-year-old mother was able to evacuate and get out of there. But, you know, just a lifetime full of memories some people lost with photo albums and photos, pictures, art, everything, cars. Just stinks.
J.J. Redick lost his house, too.
Yeah, J.J. Redick lost his house, and they had to postpone the game last night between the Lakers and the Hornets. Let's go to R.J. Go ahead, Jasper.
No, I was going to say, just to echo that, like, you know, it was a lot smaller, obviously, but what happened in Santa Rosa a few years back and then driving through that neighborhood and seeing, like, to the ground. I mean, to the ground. It is... Wow, it's just so sad and so devastating, and yeah, my heart goes out. And honestly, all the people, like, there's different companies that have stepped up, hotels, Airbnb, things like that, food places, restaurants that have stepped up to the cause. Obviously, the firefighters and all the first responders that are stepping up, but there are good people in this world that are pulling together and trying to help people out. So just everybody, just say a prayer, whatever you believe in a higher power. Just, you know, help each other out. There are good people in this world. Put your hand out and grab them.
No doubt. Let's go to RJ Fairfield. RJ, hey, RJ, what's up?
Hey, shout out to you, Bonte Hill. Not only did you strategically take a PCL day off after the Warriors-Kings game, but you alone have lit a competitive fire for Kings fans and also made this rivalry must-watch TV. And since you like banners, Bonte, I hope one day GC1 Kings Arena will hang one for you, buddy. Thank you.
I love ARJ. RJ, you know y'all hanging that banner. Yes. January 5th, Kings beat the Warriors by 30 at Chase Center. Y'all got plenty of room for banners, RJ.
Well, you like banners, man. I want to hang one for you, man. You're awesome.
I love you, RJ.
Shout out Riley Leonard for making a lot of money last night. Huh?
Money where?
In the draft.
NIL for another team?
Yeah, no. He's 6th-year senior transfer.
What, buddy, in the NFL?
I actually think he's going to move up a little bit. Just a little bit.
It might be the Niners' backup next year.
Oh, boy. Saw a bunch of third-string quarterbacks in the NFL last night playing. Drew Aller. I did not get the Drew Aller.
No, he made God throws in soul. The Boise State game. Not that I'm not pretending that Boise State's some good team. But he did. He made throws in that game.
He made some throws. And he made some throws yesterday that went to the other team.
We better pray that Texas wins the game if we want a good national championship, because if Ohio State wins, they're going to roll. I've never been more confident in a team winning a national championship.
I actually like this Notre Dame defense.
They are good.
I think they can keep it. They're tough.
Al Golden.
This Notre Dame defense is tough. They got quarters, man.
Yeah,
their DBs have really impressed me in the last 2 weeks.
They didn't have any wide receivers, and Ohio State just has studs left and right.
And here's the other thing, if you watch Notre Dame, Jeremiah Love is hurt, and he's still a beast.
That run.
That guy's a baller.
At the goal line.
He's hurt.
Now, Penn State ended up taking the lead 24-17, but I thought Notre Dame just may want it just a little bit more. He was stuffed and somehow scored a touchdown. I said, damn, and he's good. I mean, he had the 98-yard touchdown against Indiana. He's a good player. And the backup is good.
The backup is good. He's a more north-south runner.
He's solid. He's solid.
And for all the people crushing Ryan Day, I get it, the whole Michigan thing, it wasn't a good look, but James Franklin skates by with the amount of time he's had at Penn State, one of the premier programs in college football history. One win only against a top five opponent. All-time fraudulent.
Well, and Notre Dame 7-0 versus ranked opponents this year.
Yeah, it was James Franklin, 1-15.
It's crazy.
All-time against top five opponents.
Yeah, and Ryan Day has the highest win percentage of any active coach in college football.
Ryan Day's on the FU tour. The look against Michigan wasn't good. He needed to redeem himself. What's happening? Dude, there's a brawl breaking out. Dudes are fighting over a flag. What do you mean? People are getting pepper spray, Ryan. Wake up. But you know what? He's redeemed himself.
Baller receiver.
Oh, they've got studs everywhere.
The shoe polish and the beard for Ryan Day has never been brighter.
I told you, the minute Robert Saleh did that, I was like, Rob, come on.
I have to also shout out Dan Dibley, who during the crossover yesterday was coming down Guru's Road saying the college football playoff is basically a joke.
What?
It hasn't been good games. People complaining about the teams and it being drawn out. Folks, we're going to go to 16 teams one day, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay?
We
the college football playoff is 30 awesome.
30 years
at least.
Such a dumb wait.
Right. I'm pleased with the college football. Even in the blowouts has been fascinating.
They've been fun. And I like that they have the opening round at their home campuses. That's cool.
No, that's very cool. And then you get the semifinals.
Yeah.
You get neutral site games at the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl. All of a sudden, the Orange Bowl is back.
Yeah.
OB the Orange. I mean, it was like, and the uniforms. The nostalgia between Penn State, Notre Dame, and the uniforms. And then you're going to get it today with Texas and the all-whites and Ohio State. And they're scarlet and gray. Are you kidding me?
There were three guys on Penn State. I was like, I will draft any one of you in the first two rounds.
Absolutely. I want to get to that on the other side.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurt.
Occupy Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, Steph Curry sprained his thumb 4 games ago, and he says he's doing everything in his power to play back-to-backs eventually, whether that's tonight against Indiana or the next one. He does not know, but some positive news from the Warriors fans, from the chef, that he is trying to play back-to-backs as he battles bilateral knee tendonitis and his sprained thumb on his shooting hand. So Steph Curry trying to give it a go. He's struggling yesterday, 5 of 21, 2 of 14 from 3, but 17 of 10, 6 assists, finding different ways to impact the basketball game. I love that as well. The injury report brought to you by Boxer Gerzer, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. Tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. All right, what's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. Oh, 408, I better not hear it, Bonte. Don't suggest a tight end at number 11. I'm suggesting the best player available, which could be a tight end at number 11. Let's get to that, plus a college football playoff. All that coming up on the roast.